Wake, how we doing this morning? Good, it's a little early. Okay. What's going on, guys? My name is JP Seeley. I am the resident with Wake. And if you're wondering what a resident is, I have the wonderful opportunity to be a part of an awesome program that Watermark has called the Watermark Institute, which is a program where we get to study God's word from cover to cover and get to serve along ministry teams here at Watermark. And I had the gift of getting to serve with Wake. So I'm excited to be here, and I'm excited to dive in God's word with y'all this morning. We're kicking off a brand new series this month called Translate, Learning the Lingo. Now, lingo is kind of phrases and language that we've created in our culture today to describe certain things. So can someone tell me what no cap means? What? Shout it out. It means I'm not lying, right? Like, if I were to come up to you and say, hey, yo, were you at Wake last week? Karate Foe took the L. I ain't capping. That means I'm not lying, right? Or what about the goat? Someone, tell me who the goat is. Someone. Tebow. I like that. MJ. LeBron. Tom Brady. So when I ask you who the goat is, I'm not talking about like the animal, the goat. I'm talking about who the greatest of all time is. Or what about salty? What does it mean if someone's salty? That means they're a little mad, right? Like when I beat Jonathan Linder in a round of golf, you know, he's a little salty, you know? Like that's kind of how we use that word. So guys, these are just three small examples of lingo that we use today and kind of like phrases that we make. But this lingo has also found its way into the church, into church phrases that we use. Like you hear people say, I'm going to let go and let God if they're worried about something, or too blessed to be stressed, you know, as a way to deal with things. Or they say, stay blessed, you know. Among Christians, these are popular phrases and words that can tend to be overused and easily misinterpreted. So the goal of us going through this series of church lingo is to is to help define what these phrases mean, why they are used, and seek to understand them and apply them in the right context. So the phrase that we're going to look at this morning is nobody's perfect. I know I've said this one to myself a few times. This is a true statement. Nobody is perfect. However, some people take advantage of this statement and use it as an excuse to do whatever they want. Like you hear people, like, it's just the mindset of, oh, God's going to forgive me, so if I mess up, it's not that big a deal. I don't have to do anything about it. Well, guys, if you have your Bibles, and I hope you do, or maybe someone around you does that you can look on with, we'll have the verses on the screen, but if you have a hard copy of your Bible, I'm going to ask you to turn to Romans chapter 6. Romans is the sixth book in the New Testament. You pass the Gospels, talking about Jesus, pass Acts, and then you get to Romans. Romans chapter 6. And here in Romans, Paul is going to answer a question for us. And that question is, why should we obey God if we know he'll offer us grace? There's a tension here. So while you're turning to Romans chapter 6, I'm going to point us to a few earlier verses in Romans that'll help kind of lead us up into what Paul's talking about in Romans 6. So Paul in Romans 1 through 5 is talking about grace. He's talking about who we are and what Jesus has done for us. So the first verse I'm going to point to is in Romans 3, 23. We'll have them on the screens over here. And it's one that you might be familiar with. It's that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, or of his glorious standard. Guys, ever since Genesis 3, the saying is true, nobody's perfect. When Adam and Eve sinned against God, that created in us a sin nature, one that just like in second nature rebels against God, lives a life that is not honoring to the Lord. This lifestyle of sinning against God has led to separation from God. We see that as God casts them out of the garden, and that all the way through the New Testament, people are living lives of sin. But the greatest news, the ultimate message of the Bible, Paul gets to in Romans 5:8. He says it in one sentence. It's so beautiful. And if there's anything to take away, it's, but God shows his great love for us in this, and by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. God saw that we were separated from him, but he loved us so much that he was willing to send Jesus down to earth to live the perfect life that we cannot live. None of us are perfect, but he is perfect. To die the death that we were supposed to die to pay the, paying the debt that we were supposed to pay. And then 3 days later, after he went on the cross and died for our sins, he rose from the grave and ascended into heaven. And anyone who trusts in Jesus receives forgiveness of sins and grace. Guys, grace, the simple definition for grace is getting what you don't deserve. So Jesus gave us forgiveness of sins, something that we ultimately didn't deserve. So that brings us to Romans chapter 6. We see that every one of us have sinned, and Jesus has paid for our sin. So how do we respond to that? Well, the first point, as you if have your Bibles open to Romans 6, Paul tells us that grace is not does not give us permission to sin. It doesn't give us permission. Read with me, verses 1 and 2. Well then, should we keep on sinning so that God can show us more and more of his wonderful grace? Of course not. Since we have died to sin, how can we still live in it? Guys, Paul makes clear from the get-go, he's saying the purpose of grace is not so that we can just keep living in sin. I got a story for y'all. How many of you guys like history class?
Oh, I love it.
Love it. Come on, let's go. All right. How many of y'all don't like history? Oh, come on. I'm putting my hand up with y'all. Guys, I was terrible at history. I know all history is, I guess, is you just have to memorize dates and people and just put them in the right settings, but I was disinterested, and therefore, I wasn't that good at it. And when I was in high school, I signed up for an AP history class. And if you know anything about AP, you know that AP is for, like, the smart people, like the people who know history, like not for JPs. They're for people who are good at the subject. So I'm about a month into this class, and we have our first test. Does anyone want to guess what my grade was on that test? 21, a little higher than 21. No, a little lower than 32. I got a 28. I got a 28% on this test out of 100. That's not super good. Guys, the passing, the line between pass or fail is 64%. So you could literally double my score and I still failed the test. Like, that's how bad I did. So I did what any student does when they fail a test, and I went to the teacher and asked for a retake. And by God's grace, I was given a retake. But guys, when you're given a retake, especially in this situation when I was given a retake, my intent going into the second shot at it was not that I would just go in and get another 28%. It was not like, oh, I got a retake, so I'm just going to fail it again and then just ask for it. Like, no, guys, I was compelled by the grace. It's the same, I got what I didn't deserve. I got a second opportunity at this test. It compelled me to want to do good, to want to do better. So I took this time in between when I got the grade to my second test to study, to ask for help, to see what I did wrong and develop in my knowledge of the content. Guys, Jesus does not offer us grace so that we can just keep living in sin. He saved us from sin. So we see that the purpose of grace, kind of leading into our second point, is that it's to help us begin the process of removing this lifestyle of sin, the second nature of sin, and living more like him and the life he's called us to. Which leads us to our second truth, our second point, is that Jesus gives us the grace, Jesus' grace gives us the power to obey. Read with me in verses 3-4. Or have you not forgotten that when you were joined with Christ, Jesus in baptism, we joined him in his death. For we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, we too may live new lives. New. If you have a pen with you, I would circle that word new in your Bible, guys. Because what we have to understand is that Jesus doesn't just fix our life. He transforms our life. You know, it's not like if this TV were broken, he just goes in and, you know, fixes a few. Like, it's completely like throw the old away and there's new. Paul writes in another letter to a different church in 2 Corinthians. He says in 2 Corinthians 5:17 that this, the gospel, means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone and behold, the new has come. Guys, I came to know Jesus about 7 years ago, when I was in high school. And I just want to tell you, before I knew Jesus, my life was a mess. Guys, my parents weren't Christians, so I wasn't taught to learn the Bible. I experienced a whole amount of bullying to where I didn't know how to respond to evil. It just didn't make sense. And this just led to a lifestyle of, like, I was using bad language. I was speaking mean to one another. I didn't do what my parents asked me to do. Clearly, as you can see, I wasn't trying in school. All these different things in my life. But then, guys, one day, someone decided to invite me to their student ministry, very similar to Wake. And it was there that I first understood the gospel, that Jesus died for my sin, so that in my brokenness, in my mess-ups, and in my sin, that he's restored me and called me to live a completely new life, and that he loves me, and ultimately that he's forgiven me. So then, at this point, my life started to change drastically. Like, I started attending a small group, like many of y'all are in, where we gather with other Christians, leaders who know the Bible better than I did, to help teach it to me, explain it to me. I started changing my attitude, the way I viewed things. And guys, I remember one day, I was at school, and a guy on my basketball team came to me and said, "JP, you changed. Like, you're nice to people now. And, like, you volunteer at church, and your parents aren't even asking you to. Like, you just, everything about you." And I just remember the way he capped it off. He said, "It's as if you are a brand new person." Guys, when we follow Jesus, he doesn't fix us. Like, he just transforms us. We are a brand new creation. And in 2 Corinthians, he talks about being a new creation, right? When you are new to something, that means you're kind of naive, right? Like, you don't know what's happening and you need to learn. Like, how many of y'all play an instrument? Yeah? Band practice, guitar, clarinet, whatever it might be. Guys, okay, so you know that when you pick up that instrument, it takes a while to learn the chords, learn everything. What about, is anyone in here an artist? Okay, we have a few, drawing, painting, you name it. What about any athletes? Do we have any athletes in the house? Come on. There we go. So guys, these are all examples of hobbies that when we first pick them up, we are inexperienced. And getting good at them kind of takes time. Understanding them takes time. So a hobby that I picked up just about 2 years ago is I'm trying to learn how to play golf. And that's right. And if you know anything about golf, it is a very technical sport. Like, there's a lot of rules and things you have to get down in order to be good at it. So guys, I want to show you a video of my first golf swing when I started learning, and I want you to tell me how good I did. Go ahead and... Wow, that was trash, man. There we go. That's great. And then, so if you watch in that video, if any of y'all know golf, I mean, you don't even have to know golf to look at that and say, that's not how they do it on TV. Like, the PGA, they're much better than that. But there are so many things that I was doing wrong. My elbow was bent. My feet weren't in the right place. Like, there were so many things that I needed to improve on. So that was me, like, when I was brand new to it, when I first started. But after taking the time to ask other people to, like, teach me certain things, to go on my own and practice and put in an intentional effort to learn and grow, I want you to see this next swing and tell me if it's a little bit better. There it is.
Yeah, very nice.
You might say, what's the difference? But there is a drastic difference in that swing. So guys, that was about 5 months after I first picked up golf. And I want you to know, like, I still am not perfect in that, but you can see that just over a period of time of intentionally trying to get better, you see improvement. Guys, growing in our faith doesn't happen overnight. It takes time. I mean, that's why we have small groups where we can meet weekly and study God's word and ask leaders who know it to help us understand. And over time, the more effort that we put in to growing in our faith, God gives us the strength to understand and live like him better. So we ask that question in the beginning of our time together about, like, if he gives us grace, then what does that mean? Why do we have to obey it? Well, the answer to that is that God's grace is not an excuse to sin, but rather a reason to love him and serve him more fully. So to summarize that up, guys, like, God has forgiven us, and that should propel us to be moved and just want to know him more, to live like him more. It's not just a reason to keep living in sin. So I would really encourage you guys, based what is, you know, to find at least one way that we can love him and serve him more fully this week. Awesome. Let me pray. God, thank you for today. Thank you that despite us sinning, God, that you came down to earth as Jesus and paid for our sin. That in the name of Jesus, God, we are forgiven, that we've received grace from you, and we have life in you. God, I just pray that you can help each and every one of these students today strive towards you, because, God, the life that you have called us to live is so good. It's so much better than the sin that we got ourselves in, God. So just help us this week as we go on, God, to understand that growing in our relationship with you and living more like you doesn't happen overnight, but I just pray that we can put an intentional effort into living more like you and growing in our relationship with you, and that you would just give us the strength as we do so. And God, as always, we thank you so much that we don't deserve this, God, but you gave it freely to us. And that that every mistake we make, that you've forgiven. None of us are the exception. You have shown grace to all of us in this room, and we praise you for that. So we love you, and we thank you for everything you do and say for us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have a great week of worship, y'all.